Hello, welcome back to WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. This is your host, Irvi Banerjee, for another segment on Tech Unfiltered. We've talked a lot about a lot of different type of technologies, a lot of big type of technologies such as AI, cable networks, power grids, really, really big things. And for this segment, I kind of wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that's more something we see in our everyday lives. Something that we may look at and understand what it does, but we don't actually know what it does on the inside, what it truly does. So, let's first take just one thought, and let's think about how you check your phone battery during the day. So maybe it's like 80% in the morning or 50% by the afternoon, and suddenly it drops to, what, 15%? And that's really when you need it the most. So this moment creates a kind of urgency. So obviously you start thinking about where the next outlet is, whether you have a charger or how long your phone will last. So obviously when we're in this type of situation, we could either find an outlet, find a charger, find something, but there's also some things where you don't necessarily need an outlet. Instead, you can reach into your bag, take out a small device, plug it in, and your phone starts charging instantly. So this device that a lot of people have is called a portable charger or called a power bank. So it seems simple on the surface, but inside, it represents one of the most important shifts in modern technology, the ability to carry energy with us wherever we go. So, at its core, a portable charger is a battery, but not just any battery. It's a rechargeable system designed to store electrical energy and release it when needed. To understand how it works, let's think about a water tank. You fill the water tank, store it, and then use it later when you need it. A portable charger works in the same way. Instead of storing water, it stores electrical energy. So when you plug it into a wall, it fills up. So when you, let's say, connect it to your phone, it releases that stored energy. Most portable chargers today use lithium-ion or lithium polymer batteries. These are the same types of batteries used in smartphones, laptops, and many other devices. They were popular because they can store a large amount of energy relative to their like size and weight. What I mean by that is that based on the size of that portable charger, it is pretty good, the proportion of how much they can like store. So this is why like a small power bank can charge your phone maybe multiple times. But how does that energy actually move? So when you charge a power bank, electricity flows into the battery and causes chemical reactions inside. These reactions store energy in a stable form. So when you use the power bank, the process reverses. The stored energy is converted back into electrical current and sent to your device. So it's basically the cycle of storing and releasing energy. Now, not all of the portable chargers are the same. One of the main differences between them is capacity. Capacity is measured in milliampere hours, or MAH, and this number tells you how much energy the power bank can store. For example, a 10,000 MAH power bank can typically charge a smartphone about 2 to 3 times, depending on the phone's battery size. A 20,000 mAh power bank can do even more. So, to make this easier to understand, think of an mAh like the size of a fuel tank. A larger tank means more fuel, which means longer usage. But just like a larger fuel tank makes a car heavier, a higher capacity power bank is usually even bigger and heavier. This creates a trade-off between portability and power. And obviously, we can't just look at one like one portion of the puzzle, we have to look at another portion. So another important factor is output. Output refers to how quickly the power bank can deliver energy to your device. This is measured in volts and amps, and higher output means faster charging. Some modern power banks support fast charging technologies. These systems adjust the flow of electricity to charge devices more quickly without damaging the battery. To understand this, let's think of filling a glass of water. You can pour slowly and take your time, or you can pour faster. Let's say if the glass can like handle it. Faster charging is like pouring faster, but in a controlled way. This system ensures that the battery does not overheat or become unstable. Heat is usually one of the biggest challenges in battery technology. When energy is transferred, some of it is lost as heat. If too much heat builds up, it can reduce efficiency and damage the battery. That is why power banks include circuits that regulate temperature and control energy flow. These circuits act like managers, making sure basically everything operates safely. Another feature that has become more common is multiple ports. Some power banks allow you to charge more than one device at the same time. This is useful when you have multiple devices or need to share power with someone else. It turns a single power source into a small charging station. And with that, I know that a lot of people have wireless charging, where you basically just set your phone on top of a little charging, basically magnet, and it charges your phone for you. So this works by creating a magnetic field between the charger and the device. Energy is transferred across the field without any physical contact. So it's similar how many like data stations work. So while wireless charging is convenient, it's usually less efficient than wired charging. Because obviously when it's transferring from the phone, some energy is definitely lost. While if it's directly going into the phone through a wire, less energy is lost. So the trade-off is essentially efficiency. So portable chargers are used in many different ways. Travel is one of the most common ones. So when you are on a plane or in a car or moving between places, access to outlets can be limited. So a power bank provides essentially independence, so you're no longer trying to find a wall with an outlet. Outdoor activities are another example. So let's say camping, hiking, and other activities often take place far away from power sources. So portable chargers allow devices like phones, GPS units, and cameras to keep working. This can be important just for convenience, but it can be also extremely important for safety. In emergencies, having a charged phone can make a critical difference. And power banks obviously are used in professional settings too. Photographers, journalists, many people rely on keeping their devices running during, let's say, long assignments or long shows. So as technology advances, portable chargers are become not only more specialized, but more normalized. So some are designed to charge laptops, not just phones. So these require higher output, more advanced power management, while others are built into everyday objects, such as backpacks or phone cases. This integrates power storage directly into items people already use. And with all of that power bank like stuff, like power banks that are what is specifically in power banks and how it's being integrated into the world right now, a lot of people might question, okay, what about solar powered chargers? So these devices basically include panels that convert sunlight into electricity. They can recharge themselves without needing a wall outlet. So this is especially useful in remote areas. However, the downside to this is solar charging is slower and depends on the environmental conditions. So it's basically a supplement rather than a complete replacement for traditional charging. And obviously there's also safety considerations because portable chargers store energy, so they must be handled properly. Overcharging, physical damage, or exposed to extreme temperatures can affect the performance. But with more advanced technology, most modern power banks include protection systems to prevent issues such as overcharging, short circuits, and overheating. These systems monitor conditions and shut down the device if something goes wrong. And air travel is another area where regulations apply. And I never knew that air travel was a place or a thing that where these regulations apply. And it's because lithium batteries can pose risks if damaged, and if there are limits on the size of a power bank that can be carried on planes. These rules are designed to reduce potential hazards. So I never knew that the air travel like monitored those type of things. And then obviously with that is efficiency. Not all energy stored in a power bank is transferred to the device. Some energy is lost during conversion, and this means that a 10,000 mAh power bank does not deliver the full 10,000 mAh to your phone. So understanding this helps set realistic expectations. And this is not just for, honestly, power banks. It's for a lot of other things, too. Like, for example, your outlet, most outlets in the United States, they run at 120 volts. So that means when you plug your computer or your whatever device that you need into the outlet, it's essentially getting 120 volts into the outlet. But it's not always 120 volts. Like sometimes it's 116 and sometimes it's 121. It depends because it's just a fluctuating like electrical energy. So obviously if you get a 10,000 mAh power bank, you're not going to usually expect 10,000 out of it. But beyond the technical details of how all of this works, it shows that it's a shift on how we think about energy. So in the past, power was something you accessed in specific places. Or, if you go even back further, only people who could really, really, really want access to energy, such as people with tons of money or extremely wealthy, could access energy. And as of right now, well, as it was before power banks, outlets were fixed points. So now power is something you can basically carry, and it becomes part of your personal setup, just like your phone or your wallet. So this changes essentially how people behave, because people feel more comfortable using their devices throughout the day. They rely on them more, knowing that they can recharge at any time. This increases connectivity, productivity, and access to information. At the same time, it raises questions about dependency. As devices become more central to daily life, the need to keep them powered becomes more important. Portable chargers solve basically one problem, but they also support a system where constant connectivity is expected. So the next time your phone battery runs low and you reach for a power bank, you're basically thinking how most people want you to think. It's just, you are not just charging the device, you're using stored energy managed by a lot of complex systems designed to be portable, efficient, and reliable. And all of that is contained in something small enough to fit in your hand. That's honestly what makes portable charging so interesting, because they take something as large and essential as energy and make it personal. So something you can carry, use, and depend wherever you are. So that's a little bit on portable charging and all that gist. So as we continue, we're going to be looking a little bit about smart clothing and how that's integrated into society today. So before we head off on our quick music break, here's a quick PSA. Immigrant Services of Champaign-Urbana will be conducting their next women's group meeting on Thursday, April 23rd. The goal of the group is to support immigrant women in our community, helping them grow, connect, and feel safe and supported. For more information, go to isc-u.org. So that's the PSA, and I will see you right after the music break. Hello, welcome back to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. And just previously, we were talking about like portable banks and power banks and portable chargers and all that type of stuff and how it's changed society, but also how it works. So now we're going to move into smart clothing. So obviously, a lot of people don't see clothing as very technological. Like, they see phones and headphones, laptops, and chargers. But technology has now shifted to clothing. And I have talked about this on the show previous times, where how clothing is being integrated into fitness systems. So it's being integrated into so many things, like shirts, jackets, pants. So it has become this wearable technology, and it begins to change form. So it moves from accessories into materials, from objects into systems built directly into what you wear every day. So at its core, smart clothing is about embedding technology into fabric. But it's actually pretty simple how it works. So instead of placing electronics on top of the clothing, the electronics are integrated into it. So, to more understand this, imagine a jacket. From the outside, it looks normal, but on the inside, it contains wires, sensors, and small power systems. These components are flexible and designed to move with the fabric, so they do not feel like rigid devices. They feel like a part of the clothing itself. So, we've already talked about how these clothings are truly integrated into one another, but one thing we didn't talk about was how heated apparel works. Like, one thing pretty common, especially in Champaign, Illinois, is heated jackets, heated gloves, and vests. So these are basically designed to generate warmth without using built-in heating elements. So these elements are usually the thin conductive wires placed throughout the fabric. So when electricity flows through them, they produce heat. It is similar, basically, how a toaster works, but at a much lower and controlled level. The user can adjust the temperature using buttons or a connected app. So this allows for, like, very precise control. So instead of layering multiple pieces of clothing together, you can adjust the warmth directly. So this is basically just climate control for your body. So instead of adapting to the environment, the clothing adapts to you. So heated clothing is especially useful in cold environments. Outdoor workers, athletes, and travelers often use it to maintain safety, but heating is just one function. Some smart clothing, which I've talked about, includes sensors that monitor the body, and these sensors can track heart rate, breathing patterns, muscle activity, and movement. So unlike fitness trackers worn on the wrist, these sensors are distributed across the body, and this allows for more detailed data. So obviously, we've looked into this a lot, especially in one of the last segments. We talked about how smart clothing is embedded into the sensors to help, let's say, Olympic athletes and all such like this. But smart clothing, also known as e-textiles, how it started was really interesting because it actually dropped in 2000. Levi's and Philips teamed up to launch the ICD Plus jacket, and it was the first commercial smart garment, and this featured integrated headphones and a remote for a mobile phone. So these were just mind-blowing. And I'm just going to have a few just really big innovations that have happened in the smart clothing segment. So one of them is instant armor. So some motorcycle jackets use smart molecules that stay soft during normal movement, but lock together instantly upon impact, essentially turning the fabric into a hard protective shell. And it's so cool how this smart clothing is helping these motorcycle people, because motorcyclists are more prone to getting injured on the road than obviously cars. So having the smart molecule vest that essentially locks together on impact is just such a cool innovation that was made. Another one is called human power plants, which sounds scary when you first hear it, but scientists are developing fabrics that harvest energy from your body heat or the friction of your movement to charge small devices like your phone. So essentially, you could be your own portable charger. Another one is mood clothing. There are chromic fabrics that change color based on your body temperatures or even signals from your smartphone, allowing you to change your outfit's pattern in seconds. And then there comes self-cleaning fabric. So using a tiny metal nanostructures, some clothes can eat stains when exposed to light. The fabric breaks down organic matter, removing odors and spills in minutes. That kind of changes the cleaning industry a little bit, as the fabric is literally eating your stain. So some of the health ways that smart clothing has been used is called life-saving PJs, where smart baby onesies can now monitor an infant's breathing and heart rate, sending an alert to a parent's phone if something is wrong. And then another one is vibrating yoga pants. Leggings like those from, I think one of the brands is called Natty X, use haptic feedback or gentle vibrations at the hips and knees to correct your posture during workout. Now, I don't know how they know what posture I'm doing, but I guess that's something that if you're interested, you can look into. Smart socks is another one. Specialized socks for diabetic patient monitors, which monitor foot temperature to detect early signs of inflammation or ulcers before they become serious. So these are just a few ways of how smart clothing is being integrated into so many things. But most of these smart clothings rely on these small battery packs. And power is an extremely important factor in all of these that I've talked about. So some of them are often removable and rechargeable. They are designed to be lightweight and unobtrusive. So some are integrated into pockets or seams. Others are connected externally. So this challenge is balancing power with comfort. So a large battery provides longer use but adds weight. A smaller battery is more comfortable but may need to be recharged more often. Designing around the trade-off is a key part of the development for all of these. And then on top of that, durability is another major consideration. Clothing is exposed to movement, washing, and environmental conditions. Electronics must be protected without making the garment stiff or fragile. So some designs allow the electrical components to be removed before washing, and others seal components to make them water resistant. So this ensures that the clothing remains practical for everyday use. Smart clothing is also being used in safety applications. So, for example, some garments include light or reflective elements powered by embedded systems. So this can improve visibility in low light conditions, and others include sensors that detect impact or fall, like the one with the motorcycle did. So obviously that all of these systems could be used in military and emergency services, and also with this use of advanced wearable technology. And with all of this, clothing is as expected with all of these socks and PJs and all different type of technologies, is that right now, clothing is expected to be simple and durable. But adding technology increases complexity. So users need to understand how to charge, take care of, or use the garment properly. And then on top of all of this is privacy is another consideration. So if clothing collects data like the smart socks did when collecting foot temperature, the data must be managed securely. So users need to know what information is being collected, how it's used. So this is also extremely essential in not only just foot temperature data, but all biometric data. So as the technology evolves, these challenges are being addressed. So these batteries, not only is the biometric data structures and data privacy is being more advanced, batteries are becoming smaller and more efficient, designs are becoming more user-friendly, and over time, smart clothing may become as common as other wearable devices. And what makes this area extremely unique is how it blends technology with everyday life. And that's what the portable charger also did. The portable charger also blended technology with everyday life. But clothing is something people use constantly. You won't necessarily have to always use a backpack, but you're always going to need clothes. So by integrating technology into it, the barrier between the device and user becomes a lot smaller. So this technology is already part of what you're wearing. So you're essentially experiencing that technology. It's becoming less visible and more intuitive. And it's being more integrated into your everyday life than people may see it to be. So the shift from carrying technology to wearing it represents a broader trend. Technology is moving closer to the body. It becomes more personal, more continuous, and more embedded in daily routines. So smart clothing is not just about adding features, it's about redefining what clothing can do. It transforms fabric into something active, something responsive, something connected. And as these systems continue to develop, the idea of clothing may expand beyond its traditional role. So basically, it will expand from being just protection or maybe style to functionality and interaction. So essentially, it might not just be something you wear one day. Your clothing might be something that works with you to help you out or track a specific thing. So that's a little bit about how just smart technology was working. I really like the new innovations that have come into smart technology, and I feel like it was really worth talking about. So the next segment will be the future of storing energy and how the future may look like, or how it's going to be for the next generation of power systems. So we are going to go on our quick music break. But before we do, there's a quick PSA. Programming on WEFT is brought to you in part by ShambanaEats.com, Champaign-Urbana's only publication highlighting the food and drink scene in Champaign-Urbana. Shambana Eats brings you behind the scenes of the local food industry. Who, how, and where would you choose to eat next? So go to ShambanaEats.com. So that is your quick PSA, and we will go on a music break, and then I'll go right straight back into it about batteries. Hello, welcome back to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. And just previously, we were talking about smart clothing and how that has changed how we are looking at basically the industry of clothing. So now we're going to go to the future. So obviously, when we talk about portable chargers and smart clothing, there's one idea that actually connects to everything that is going on between portable chargers and clothing, and that is power. So not just having power, but storing it, controlling it, and making it available where it's needed. So right now, most of the devices that we use rely on lithium-ion batteries, and they are everywhere. Phones, laptops, wearables, portable chargers, and even electric vehicles. So they have become standard because they offer a strong balance between size, capacity, and rechargeability. But lithium-ion technology is not perfect. It has limits. It degrades over time, meaning it holds less charge after repeated use. It generates heat, which must be managed, and it depends on materials that are not unlimited. So because of these limits, researchers and engineers are working on new types of batteries. So the goal is not just to improve what we already have, but to rethink how energy storage works entirely. So one of the most promising developments is the solid-state battery. So to understand why this might matter, it helps to look how current batteries work. So inside a lithium-ion battery, there are two main parts, the anode and the cathode. So between them is a liquid electrolyte. This liquid allows ions to move back and forth, carrying energy through the system. But that liquid also creates challenges. It can be unstable, especially under high temperatures or stress. So solid-state batteries replace that liquid with solid material. So this change may be small, but it has major effects. First, it improves safety. A solid electrolyte is less likely to leak or catch fire. Second, it allows far higher energy density. This means that more energy can be stored in the same amount of space. So to visualize this, imagine replacing a container of liquid with a solid block that can hold more energy without expanding. It becomes more compact and efficient. Solid-state batteries could lead to devices that last longer, charge faster, and operate more safely. Another area of innovation is fast charging. Right now, charging speed is limited by how quickly energy can move through a battery without causing damage. So if too much energy is forced in too quickly, it can create heat and reduce battery life. New technologies aim to improve this process. Some approaches involve redesigning battery materials to allow for faster movement of ions. Others focus on smart charging systems that adjust power levels dynamically. So it's basically like filling a container. So instead of pouring at one constant speed, the system adjusts the flow depending on how full the container is. At the beginning, it can fill quickly, but as it gets closer to full, it slows down to prevent overflow. So this controlled approach allows for faster overall charging without compromising safety. Another concept being explored right now is wireless power at a larger scale. We already have wireless charging for small devices, but future systems may extend this idea further. For example, surfaces like desks or tables could provide power without direct connections. Devices placed on them could charge automatically. In more advanced scenarios, entire rooms could be equipped with these low-level power fields. So devices within those spaces could draw energy continuously. So this could reduce the need for plugging in altogether. So you're basically just entering a room where your device begins charging without any action. So power becomes a part of the environment rather than something you actively connect to. Energy harvesting is another emerging idea. So instead of relying entirely on stored power, devices could generate small amounts of energy from their surroundings. This could come from movement, heat, light, or even sound. For example, wearable devices might convert body into electrical energy. Shoes could generate power from walking. Small solar panels could capture light during the day. Individually, these sources produce limited energy, but combined, they could extend battery life or reduce the need for charging. It's like adding small streams to a really big river. So each one contributes a little, but together they make a difference. Sustainability is also becoming a major focus in battery development. Traditional batteries rely on materials like lithium, cobalt, and nickel. Mining and processing these materials can have environmental and ethical impacts. Researchers are exploring alternatives. So some are developing batteries that use more abundant materials. Others are working on improving recycling processes. So the goal is to create systems where battery components can be reused rather than discarded. So basically, we're basically making every phone, every charger, every wearable device adds to a number of sustainability. So improving that sustainability reduces the long-term impact of all these devices. So another innovation is modular battery design. So instead of having a fixed battery built into a device, modular systems allow users to replace or upgrade battery components. So this extends the lifespan of devices. If the battery degrades, it can be replaced without discarding the entire device. This approach also allows for customization. Users can choose battery sizes based on their needs. For example, a larger module for long trips or a smaller one for everyday use. It adds flexibility to how power is managed. Ultra-thin batteries are another area of development. So as devices become smaller and more integrated into clothing or accessories, like I was talking about before with smart clothing, batteries must also adapt. So thin, flexible batteries can be embedded into materials without necessarily adding bulk. So this is very essential for the wearable technology. And other technologies that are need for lightweight substances. So how can devices use less energy while maintaining performance? So this involves both hardware and software improvements, more efficiency processors, better power management systems, and optimized designs all contribute to this. But it's not about storing more energy, but it's actually about using it more effectively in all parts of the device. So battery technology is becoming a thing that needs to be improved, but also it's something that people want to be improved, because as more technology arises and more energy is becoming foundational to our almost every single device, every system, and every piece of technology, without this power, nothing operates. So that is what makes battery technology so important. So it may not always be visible, but it supports everything else. From the smallest wearable to the largest system, energy storage is what makes functionality possible. So the future of batteries is not just about better devices. It's about enabling new ways of living, working, and interacting with technologies. And as these advancements continue, the idea of power will continue to evolve from something we manage manually to something that is seamlessly integrated into the world around us. So basically, to wrap this all up, the future of technology is not about what devices can do, but it's essentially of how they are powered. So that is the end of our segment for Tech Unfiltered. But before we go, here's a quick PSA. First Followers runs a drop-in center for those in need of their services. Their drop-in center hours are Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 5 p.m. They are located at 314 Cottage Court, Champaign. People of all religious backgrounds are welcome at First Followers. They promote individual mentoring and assistance with employment searches, acquiring ID, family reconnect, finding education, and training opportunities, in addition to other needs that you may have. For more information, go to firstfollowersreentry.com. So that is your Tech Unfiltered episode, and I hope to see you next time.